Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment he has brought us through. Such a freedom. Hallelujah. We can say thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to move forward in your word, to move forward in our life, giving God honor, giving God glory, giving God praise this morning. For he is a great and mighty God, and we are his children. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy as we move forward this morning. Thanking God for you, Mother Valerie, good morning. I pray all is well with you. So grateful to have you back with us this morning and for you to go forth for us, and just grateful that our mother is back, and I am grateful to be a child of God. And I have a couple of prayers this morning. Dawn yesterday was inspired to please. And I had to laugh because I'm like, Lord, that just so talks about me. It says, be careful when you do good things. Don't do them in front of people to be seen by them. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6:1. And then it goes on to tell us, Lord, in a world full of ambition, help me to remember that you are the ultimate audience. Give me a heart that rests in the fact that nothing I do out of a heart of love is overlooked by you. When I work for the good of those around me, I ask that you keep my mind coming back to the truth that whether or not it is seen or recognized by those around me, it is worth doing. Help my heart to remember to remain humble and down to earth. It's intentions that I wouldn't be looking for recognition or praise from others. Good things done without a true heart get instant satisfaction. However, the greater return of investment will not be received. I'm playing the long game here, fully invested in you even when the returns feel small. In the moment, I don't want actions without the heart behind it, and neither do you. You have my heart. Let my offerings be out of the overflow of a life lived for you. And it says, if you look at the way you live your life, both privately and publicly, do you see a difference between the attitude of your heart? And for this morning's prayer, I'll read it after our lesson this morning. And it is a great word, and it is going to be coming out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 in the NCV version of the word. And I'll get back with you as I turn it over to Mother Valerie to pray us in this morning. And today we will be coming out of Exodus chapter 25 and 26. And we will be coming out of the 19th Psalm, verses 7 through 14. And our proverb this morning is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 through 35. And I'll be back in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. So I will be back with you. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, saints of God. This is a beautiful, beautiful morning. It's beautiful because God did it again. He woke us up. And Lord, I thank and praise you for who you are. I thank and praise you for this day. Bless all your people, the Bridget, that she will rest in you. And you, it's already done. You already healed her body. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do, will do, and have done. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm coming out of Exodus 25 and 1, 26 and 37. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. With his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet, thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spice for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, oxen stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all its fronting, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an art of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, 1.5 cubits its height, and you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and shall make on it molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. You shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 turbans of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 turban at 1 end and the other turban at the other end. You shall make the turban at the 2 ends of it of 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the turban shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And they shall face one another. The faces of the turban shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I'll speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are on the ark of the testimony, above everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. You shall also make a tablet of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make it for a frame of half breadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. You shall make for it 4 rings of gold, put the rings on the 4 corners that are in its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, that the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dishes, its pan, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold. And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered wood work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowl, ornamental knobs, flowers shall be of 1 piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossom on 1 branch with an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made like almond blossom on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand, and on the lampstand itself, 4 bowls shall be made like almond blossom, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the 1st 2 branches of the same, a knob under the 2nd 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the 3rd 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of 1 piece. All of this shall be 1 hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all those utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Chapter 26. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine wooden linen, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. Every one of the curtains shall have the same measurement. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the seal of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain, that is, on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains together with the clasps so they may be made one tabernacle. You shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all have the same measurements. You shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, with 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. You shall make 50 brass clamps, put the clamps together in the loops, and couple the tents together that it may be one. The regimen that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. I mean, God got a certain way that he wants things, and he wants it done exactly like he's saying. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side to cover it. You shall also make a covering of ram skin dyed red for the tent, and a covering of badger skin above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. You shall make the boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the fourth side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be covered together at the bottom, and they shall be covered together at the top by one ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. There shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you should make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the board on the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the fourth side westward. The middle bar should pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. You shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine wooden linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. You should hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver, and you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. You shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine wooden linen made by a weaver. You shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of brass for them. God is precise and exactly wants what he wants, how that tabernacle shall be built. I mean, he wants it built exactly the way he described to them when it was showed to them on the mountain. Psalms 19:7-14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And he's telling you right there, there's a great reward in keeping God's law. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumption sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going into Proverbs 6:32-35. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the days of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased though you give many gifts. No, I mean, why should he be appeased? You're going to give him gifts after you lay with his wife?
Come on,
no.
Now.
I mean, that's wrong. You can't do that and think, oh, I'm going to butter up her husband. I'm going to give him lots of money and you know. It says, for jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts, because you don't sleep with his wife. I mean, that sounds foolish to try to butter up a man after you don't dishonor him by sleeping with his wife. No way. No way.
It's like, not going to happen. Mother.
No way. Mm-mm. He'll probably shoot you. I don't care how many gifts you have given him. You've dishonored him. You slept with his soulmate. You can't do things like that and think you're going to get away with it. I mean,
it's not gonna
it just won't happen. Life lessons. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The God who made the universe by his almighty power offers to exercise that same power on our behalf to help us speak and think in a way that honors him. He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives, not only when we feel bad or when we feel good. He wants to be with us through everything that we go through. In the good times, in the bad times, in the happy times, God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives because God is in us. Through the Holy Ghost dwells inside of us. He's in us. And he when you rejoice, he rejoices. When you're sad, he's sad. God wants to be with us in every aspect of our lives. He really do. God is Father. God is our Father. He's Father, Father, Father. God is everything. I'm going to Life Lessons, Exodus 25 and 2. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you should take my offering. The kind of offering God most desires from us is a willing one gives out of a grateful heart. But even when we give in this joyful way, we can never. How can we out? We can never outgive God. How can we outgive God? We can't outgive God. No. And God wants you, when you give him something, give it willingly. And if you don't want to give when the church is taking up an offering and you don't want to do it willingly, then don't give anything. You know, give out of your heart. Give willingly. He don't want you to grudgingly, I got to give $10 today, or I got to give $25 today. I wish I didn't have to do it. Well, then don't do it. God wants you to be willingly to do different things. He's not forcing himself on you. God don't force nothing. God is God. He could force you to obey him. But it said obedience is better than sacrifice. God don't force you to become a Christian. He draws you with love and kindness. He don't make you do anything. God is Father, and we read that a couple of days ago. God is Father, but he don't force himself on you. He don't make you do this. I'm coming out of Exodus 25 and 22. It's called The Mercy Seat, Answers to Life Questions. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter in behind the veil of the Holies of Holies and stand before God. On that day, he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat in order to receive forgiveness for the sins of the community. It was there that the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God, would rest between the golden figures of two cherubims, which was a kind of an angel. But you know what? And I know it'll probably say that we don't do stuff like that no more. Jesus was our sacrifice. He gave his life for us. It was there that the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God, would rest between the golden figures of two cherubims, which was a kind of angel. Only one man could be in the presence of God, and on only one day a year, one man once a year. And by the time Jesus walked on the earth, it had been hundreds of years since the Shekinah glory of God had been seen in the temple. The average Israelite was not accustomed to being in the presence of God. Yet imagine the excitement and glory on the Day of Atonement when God's presence would dwell between the two angels. In Exodus 25 and 22, God says, "There I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are on the ark of the testimony, above everything which I will give you in commandments to the children of Israel." It was there on the mercy seat, between the two angels above the ark of the covenant, that God showed himself merciful in forgiving sin. God met with the high priest, spoke with him, and the high priest had the privilege of worshiping God and finding guidance. Now fast forward to 3 days after the crucifixion. It was early in the morning, and Mary Magdalene and some other woman had traveled to Jesus' tomb out of love and devotion. John 20:11-12 tells us, Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. Mary did not realize at that time what she was seeing was a wondrous fulfillment of the Old Testament mercy seat. The glory of God shone between those two angels. Only God's kind of glory was not being revealed to a priest with an offering. Rather, it was being shown to a woman with a broken heart. Yet why would God put the mercy seat in the tomb? The interesting thing is that the mercy seat was the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. The word for Ark in the Hebrew is Arrow, which means coffin. God's glory appeared in the Old Testament above a coffin. And now through Christ, God's great victory had likewise appeared over the tomb to signify his victory over death. You see, Jesus had already become our high priest, and he had already made an atonement offering. The veil of the holiest of holies had been torn in two, and we're no longer separated from the presence of God. The forgiveness, the guidance, and the very presence of God that had previously been accessible to only one man on one day a year had been available to all of us for all eternity. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, the mercy seat is available for your forgiveness. No matter what counsel you need, no matter why you need direction, the mercy seat is available to give you guidance. No matter what the tomb, no matter what hope or promise has died to you, the mercy seat is available to you, and the glory of God will shine on your situation. You may not see it yet, but the victory is yours. Jesus Christ has become your mercy seat. He has opened the way so that the Shekinah glory of God can illuminate your life in every circumstance. So what do you do with this great access to the mercy seat? Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Come boldly. Come boldly. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Therefore, enter in, friend, and rejoice in the glory of God. Rejoice Amen. In the glory of God. God is so good. He said, just come to him. It doesn't matter what you have did. I don't care if you have killed somebody, you have stole, you have robbed a person. If you repent, you can come boldly. You can come boldly and ask God to forgive you. It said, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Because when you do wrong, you do you're in a time of need, a need That's right. for God, for Jesus to forgive you. Oh, God is so good. He's so good. Even when we were yet sinners, he forgave us. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is a good God all the time.
I love you, Mother. Good. Even when we were sinners, God forgave us. And, you know, and I love, you know, the psalm. You know, we say it every morning when we start our show, the 19th Psalm, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We are blessed to be redeemed by the Holy Spirit. We are blessed to be redeemed by the blood of the Savior. We are blessed that the veil was torn so we can go directly to the Father through the Son. We are blessed and highly favored by God because he does hear our word. He does hear our prayers. He does know who we are. He knows us by name. He knows every hair on our head, be it gray, be it whatever. He knows everything about us. He's just that kind of father, and he's just that good. Whoo, what a word. Thank you. You know, we think that sometimes the word is so boring. Oh, my God, mercy seats and acacia wood and yarn of blue and ram skin of red. And, you know, everything in the Bible is important. It has a message. And when we listen and know that message is important, we find out there's a whole lot more in it than what we think. So, Mother, thank you, and thank Dr. Stanley for the mercy seat, you know, answers to life's questions, because it clarified what the word was about, which is why I love this Bible. is a great study word. And as I come in, I am going out, I'm coming out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. And I tell you, it is a good word. And it says this, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, do not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be torn down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming of the and of the end of the age? And, you know, we need to be looking at it ourselves. When is the signs? And it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And we're seeing it in our generation. We're seeing wars, Ukraine and Russia. And we are seeing nation and kingdom against kingdom, Israel against Palestine. You know, we are seeing it. It's happening in our time. But again, it's the beginning of sorrows. Because then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and become lawlessness will be abound. The love of many will grow cold. And we're seeing that also in our time. How many false prophets have we seen in these last 3 and 4 years? More than you can count. As they say, more than you can shake a stick at, you know, in the Southern vernacular. And it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. But then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, not ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look here, is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Can I say it again? If anyone says to you, look here, is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in a room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. What did he say? Do not go. He's going to come on the clouds. That's what it says. And there was, I saw a picture yesterday of, quote, unquote, UFOs in, I think it was up near Maine or somewhere, where some man said that he was going out to drop off his garbage, and he looked up and took a picture, and it looked like three stars, and then it was a cross, an X, like, and it was five. So it actually looked like 15 if you looked at it from a number standpoint. And so I went and looked up the biblical number 15 because that's what it looked like. It looked like a 15. And so I went up and I said, okay, spiritual number 15. And what is the significance of it? And it said that the number 15, it says, saying that angel number 15 means that good things are coming. This number is a sign of making positive change and pursuing your dreams and ambitions without fear. Along with being a number of ambition, it also is one of open love. And I thought, well, that's very nice and positive. And it says the angel number 15 is a highly spiritual number, as it serves as a reminder that we have the wisdom and skills to embrace our life mission, make positive life changes. And so I'm like, then why are folks running around in fear, you know, and afraid when it may just be God saying, you know, I just want y'all to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. You know, we get so caught up and always ready to fight something when we don't know what it is. God, I, in my heart, don't believe that God made just us. I believe that when he created the universe, he created other entities on other planets and other galaxies, because we are not the only thing in here. You know, that's why I believe God said to be kind to strangers. And maybe alien was really an alien in the Bible. We don't know, because we weren't in that time. But, you know, it says, seeing the angel number 15 means that good things are coming. This number is a sign of making positive. Maybe it's coming over this nation to let us know that we are making positive changes. You know, and it goes on to say that spirituality, the angel number 15 means that you can use wisdom, manifestation, and a positive mindset to attract what you want and need in life. This number shows up when your angels want to remind you to bring balance, harmony, love, and success into your world, and to bridge the gap between the material realm and the spiritual realm. And maybe God is trying to tell us something, you know, with these yellow orbs that are flying all over the planet. Get over yourself. You're not by yourself, and you need to stop the foolishness. You need to stop these wars, rumors of wars, and quit acting like you have no common sense. Because I just want you to know that my angels are here, and they are watching you. And you know what we may be thinking of as a yellow orb may be an angel that is standing up in within the heavens to show us that God exists and that his angels are on their job, reminding us who we belong to. You know, so we walk folks running around in fear. I'm like, whoa, wait, that looks like a 15. And it was three lights, so Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the five. And I thought, wow, God, that's pretty awesome. You know, I'm thinking the opposite, that's pretty awesome. And I'm sure there's somebody running around scared to death. You know, me, I felt that it might have been just angels, because they say angels are golden. And how far they were in the sky, they would maybe look like golden orbs. So we don't know what is up there, but we do know that God is. And when we know that God is, why are we running around afraid? You know, the word of God tells us to look up, right? We have to look up. There's a lifting of our eyes up to the hills from which our help comes from. Isn't that what the psalmist said? So why are we running around walking in fear? So that was just something that came up as I'm, you know, on resting this week. I thought, wow, that is pretty amazing. You know, and somebody says, whoa, was one that came over Springfield. Maybe God is saying that we are blessed, that he's sending an angel over us. You know, think about it in that respect, that these orbs may be angels of God coming to warn the earth to stop craziness, to stop the hatred, to stop the vitriol, to stop all of the foolishness. Because there is only one God, and he loves us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit loves us, and he wants us to remember who he is. But again, Jesus has told you, because there was some guy saying that he was Jesus, and he was somewhere, I think, in Florida or somewhere like that. And, you know, you had folks running after this man. And I'm like, the word of God tells you not to go. He is not Christ. He is not Jesus. There, he is not here. He is in our hearts. He's in our minds. He's in our spirit. But his physical body is not here. He did not come like he said he would. And the word of God is truth. There is no lie or deception in it. And we have to remember that. The word of God has told us in Matthew 24 what not to do. And we got to trust in the word. As they said, them red letters, you better realize they were spoken by the Savior himself. And he said, what? Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. He is coming in the clouds. He's already told us how he's coming. Look up as the lightning, as he tells us, as the lightning flag comes from the east and flashes in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch the heavens. Don't look to the east. Don't look to the west. Don't go in the desert. Don't go in the room. Don't follow after everything and anybody claiming to be Jesus, because he's not. And be careful of false prophets. Because they're going to be coming out of the woodworks. They're already here. Been here for a long time. And some folk foolish enough to listen to them and not listen to God. Come on now. Just telling it like it is. Matthew 24 and 5, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There have always been deceivers in the church, leading people away from a relationship with Christ into religious bondage. But Jesus says, as the time nears for his return, such deceptions will markedly increase. And we've spoken on it. Mother has even told you about the fact that she and Mother Janice actually went to Jim Jones's church and realized, this man is crazy. This man is crazy.
He's God. But, amen.
And think about it. All these people went to the jungle of Ghana with him. And think about how many of these people died in the Guyanese nation. How many, including a congressman. This man was a nut job. And what happened? All these people, as they say, drank the Kool-Aid. And the ones that refused to drink the Kool-Aid and killed their children were murdered, shot to death, them and their children.
Come on, my Lord.
Crazy. Really? Crazy as a Betsy bug. And we better understand, when you get caught up to the point of frenzy over a man, you are walking a slippery slope in idolatry.
Amen.
And walking a slippery
Amen.
Slope. Toward the Kool-Aid, because this person can tell you that it's going to be this, that, and the other, and you should just drink the bleach You should just make this cyanide up and drink it, because the world is going to be a horrible place if I'm not put in charge. And folks would kill themselves because they are so caught up. They did with Jim Jones. Be careful that you don't follow after something and someone to the point that you are willing to kill, steal, and destroy for them. That is not of God. And we better remember that. That is not of God. And Jesus has already told you, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. When you got folks that think that they are right there with Jesus, you better run. You better run like ain't nobody's business, because there's only one Christ, and he sits on the right hand of the Father. Every moment,
amen.
Every minute, every hour, every second of every day, interceding for you and for me. He is not on this earth. He is in our hearts on this earth. He is in our spirits on this earth, the Holy Spirit, to walk with us, to communicate with us, so that he can communicate through the Holy Spirit that is within us. God talks to us. All we have to do is be quiet and listen. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. God will not wind down human history until the whole world has had the opportunity to hear the good news. Until the whole world has had the opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. His amazing presence leads to our rich salvation. God will get his word out all over the world. That's what we do here. That's why we blog the word of God. This word is in the atmosphere. This word is being heard all over the world. And that's what we are doing, our job. Whether we have 50,000 listeners, our 15, or 2, or 3, whatever, it doesn't matter, because the word is still in the atmosphere. It's still in you, on YouTube. It's still all over. We just got to remember who we belong to. We belong to God, and he loves us more than words can ever express. And we have to remember that, that we have to remember the word of God. When things start happening, quick and in a hurry, remember the word of God. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't go in the desert. Don't go in the building, because Jesus is not there. Because all of us, every person, will see him coming in the clouds. It will show all over this planet, every nation, whether it's dark, whether it's light, whether it's in between, will see him coming in the clouds. Thank you, Lord. We will know. And our word for this morning as we get ready to wrap up before Sister Carolyn, confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Hebrews 10:35 NCV. And it says, Holy One, you are my confidence. I don't trust in the strength of my own abilities or in the faithfulness of even my closest friends. There's not much in life that I am truly certain of, but may I never doubt that you are my great reward. Whatever happens in life, would you keep me tucked into your side, covered in your loyal love and great grace, even when my confidence wavers in religious systems and what I thought were non-negotiable beliefs are shown to simply be tradition painted as piety. May my heart stay tethered to yours. You don't deal in manipulation or not how you operate. When I question perhaps everything else, may your love be the staying force. I cannot despise a life lived out of true affection. Your ways, Jesus, are beautiful, and I want to follow you. The cost may be great, but the reward will be worth it, far beyond anything I can imagine with my limited creativity. What are you most confident about? I am confident that I love the Lord and he loves me. I'm confident in that, that I am a child of God, that I am blessed, that I am favored, that I am his and he is mine. Praise the Lord, somebody. And as we go to our word from our sister in Christ, and her word for this morning is right on point. To keep moving forward ahead is not going to be an elevator ride, nor is it an escalator ride. It's a walk of faith, one step at a time. Have a walk of faith Wednesday. I got to read that again, Mother. It says,
amen.
To keep moving forward ahead, it's not going to be an elevator ride, nor it an escalator ride. It's a walk of faith, one step at a time. Have a walk of faith Wednesday. In other words, it's going to take some time. Don't get caught up in the okey-doke of it's got to happen right now. It's not a microwave. And that's where we have gotten into the I want it now in our lives. And we got to learn how to wait on the Lord. Because when we wait on the Lord, everything else falls. Wait, I say wait on the Lord. And watch God work in your life. And one more time,
amen,
for the Holy Spirit, Mother, to keep moving forward ahead. It's not going to be an elevator ride, nor is it an escalator ride. It's a walk of faith, one step at a time. Have a walk of faith Wednesday. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Watch God work in your life when you take it one step at a time. Because when we go one step, you move. Every time you go forth and go forward, you're getting closer and closer to the Lord. Don't let the enemy make you stumble, make you fall. And if he does, get back up and take the next step. Keep walking toward the mark of your high calling and watch God work in your life. And that is all we got this morning. And I pray, as Mother is going to pray us out today, I just pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' holy and precious name. We pray over you and yours to have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And remember that it's not an escalator or elevator ride. It's one step at a time towards your mark of the high calling, towards your walk of faith. Just take it one step at a time. And guess what? You're going to make it in through that narrow gate. Don't get in a rush. But remember who you belong to. You are a child of God. You are special. You are anointed. You are appointed. You are who God says you are. And you can do what God says you can do. Be blessed, family. Mother Valerie, pray us out.
You know what? I want to read this again. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You know, God told us in ahead of time about Jim Jones,
yes,
and different people,
yes,
that would come.
Actually,
and say
what?
That
that's
I
correct,
am
Mom.
The Christ. I mean, how can a man exalt himself? And because Jim Jones started out doing good things for people, and people were attracted to him because he started out doing good things. And then when we went over there to the church, he said, I am God. I am the Christ. And me and my sister got up to leave. And they had men with guns all around the sanctuary. He said, you better sit back down. Sit back down, or you won't get out of this alive. You sit back down. And we sat back down. I mean, how can a man, just a mere little man, exalt himself saying that he's the Christ when he started out following Jesus. But I like the fact that Matthew 24:5, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. He told us that this was going to happen.
We got warned. And we are being warned. We were warned and we're being warned to be careful. When you go into a church and you got some preacher talking about, I am the Christ, you better watch it and don't come back, because you don't want to wind up in the middle of a jungle dead from the Kool-Aid. Shame that devil. You know, it's not just me talking. It's someone that experienced Jim Jones that's on the line this morning. She experienced him. She went to his church. She knows what she's talking about. Listen to somebody who saw someone do exactly what the Word of God says. Come on now. No joke. To be careful. We got to be prayed up and anointed before you go anywhere. Oh, I got to visit this church. You got folks running to this place and that place, following after the pastor du jour. They're the pastor of the day because they're young and they're vibrant. And they, come on now. When your church is this side of the club, you got to be careful. Come on. You know, your church is, you walking it out. Come on now. We better be careful.
Amen.
Because God is telling you to be careful. Got to be careful. We can't get all worldly. I understand there's some young pastors out there, but you also have some young pastors that are filling the space because daddy was the pastor and they feel that they deserve to be the pastor of the church because their father was the pastor of the church, but they don't have a calling.
Amen.
They in it for the money. They in it for the fame. They in it for the glory, but not for the glory of God. Tell the truth and shame that. We can't have any more Jim Jones folks falling to their death because they falling after a man and not falling after God. You know, and then trying to use the Word of God saying, oh, they just like David. No, David was a repentant spirit. David repented for all his sins. But even God wouldn't let David feel this because of the blood that was on his hands. Come on now. We got to understand. Know the Word. Don't just try to talk something that you don't know, that you haven't studied, that you haven't read. But just because you heard somebody else say it, you go regurgitate it and say it yourself. No, know your Word and understand it. Ooh, mother, I'm sorry. I'm about to get to preaching. So
no,
I'm giving it back
because,
to you.
You know, God gives
we have
you
about
wisdom.
A minute. To, yeah,
God
we have
gives
about
you
a
wisdom.
Minute. Amen.
He gives you wisdom. He gives you wisdom. And you should use the wisdom in the sense that God gives each and every one of us, not to follow after man, but to follow after God. And God, you know, he tells you things in his word to be aware of the sneaky snake. He tells
and
you
he
to
is,
be aware of
he's slimy, and he's deceptive. He's deceptive. And if you follow after the serpent, you're going to get bit. Come on now, you're going to get bit. You know, always the parable, and I know we are about to wrap up, but there's a parable of a snake. You know, a snake wanting to, you know, I need you to help me, the snake said. I think it's to one of the animals in the animal kingdom. And, you know, and he says, well, you give me a ride. And the snake, you know, they glide across the little river. And when they get to the other side, the snake bites me. And he said, but I gave you a lift. And the snake said, but I'm still a snake.
You knew that I was a snake.
Because I'm not a comedian. But the fact is that when a snake tells you they're a snake, understand that they will bite you. and they will, you know, and if it's a python, it will squeeze the life out of you. Understand, a snake is a snake.
You said you knew I was a snake.
You knew
when he bit him, he should have been surprised because he said, well, you knew I was a snake. You knew that. So I'm going to bite you.
Come on.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Our word this morning. You know, we like to have a little bit of laughter because laughter is good for the soul. So we thank you for listening in. We thank you for joining us this morning. We have prayed. We have lifted up. We have given you some insight to the word of God. And remember that when somebody tells you something, especially
you better believe them.
You better listen. And he already told you, don't go. Don't go to the desert. Don't go to that room. In other words, don't go in that church where somebody's claiming to be Christ. Because we already know from Revelation that there will be those out there doing all kind of miracles, all kind of things, and folks going to be flocking. But remember, that it's fear of the Antichrist, and it is not real. Remember that.
Amen.
You know, you got the folks out there with the snake oil. Remember, a snake is a snake,
and they will bite you.
Amen. Thank you for listening in. Mother Valerie, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, family.
And remember to have a walk of faith Wednesday. Walk for Jesus. Walk to the Lord. And know one step at a time, you're going to get there. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.